Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you're watching Cowboy Church, where there's lots of singing and there's preaching and lots of testimonies. Just a good time.
You sound like you're excited. It sounds like the same old thing to me.
Well, you know, God is new every morning. What am I going to say?
Well, that's the thing about it. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. It's the same thing every week. You sing, you preach, and you pray for people, and we do.
Yeah. But, you know, we serve a God who is consistently the same, and yet He's different.
That's the key deal.
Oh, man, He knows everything. He's ever present. He's powerful, all powerful. He is the God that we all need to serve because He loves us so much. And we're glad that you're in your seat ready to watch Cowboy Church.
And it sounds like Susie's been sneaking into the Word of God a little bit. Maybe let's all sneak into Cowboy Church. We'll have a little singing. We'll have a little preaching. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a great time, I promise.
Yes.
Because God's here. And if you will come with an open heart, God will fill the open heart today. I believe it.
Yes, I do too. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Are you lifting up your brother? Is the purpose of your life to shine for him? Is your heart a heart of fire? Does it burn with a desire to walk beside him every single day? When you take him at his word, then the flame inside will burn. Heart's a heart of fire. Is your heart a heart of fire? Does it burn with a desire to walk beside him every single day?
I'd like to know who's been married more than 50 years here this morning. Whoa. Stand up. If you've been married more than 50 years, give them a hand clap.
Okay, now I want you to sit down, and I want to sing this to y'all. This is a love song for you. You know, Jesus is all into love, isn't he?
Listen to me, there's something you should know. I was meant for you and you alone. Who I am and what I feel, no one else can have. You've got my heart and I won't take it back. So there it is. You have everything I have to give. And I promise you, as long as I live, I'm here to stay forever, never fades away. I'm not going anywhere. So there,
y'all holding hands.
I can't help it, I know that you're the one, and my love is endless. It just goes on and on. And even if the world should end and life on earth were through, oh, even then I'd be loving you. So there thing I have to give, and I promise you, as long as I live, I'm here to stay forever, never fades away. I'm not going anywhere. So there.
Your relationship with each other needs to be as solid as your relationship with God, because the two flow hand in hand down the road of life. Your spouse needs to know this.
You're there it is. You have everything I have to give, and I promise you, as long as I live, I'm here to stay forever, never fades away. I'm not going anywhere. So there.
A real difficult message that I kind of weighed on my heart for a long time this week, and it was one of those where I thought, I don't think I can preach this. And it was one of those, if I knew God said it, I'm on, but if it just feels like maybe it's a little too difficult for me to just step in the water. You know, some people just bail in and some people do this, and I'm kind of this guy. And so I was doing this, and my son called me. He says, "So how's it going?" I said, "Oh, I'm working on my message." And he said, "Well, how's that going?" I said, "I don't know. I can't." He said, "What's it about?" So I tell him what it's about. And he said, "Well, I got the outline for you here." And he just gives me the outline. And so with that, I thought, well, you know, you always look for the different things to get affirmation from. I thought, I feel good about that. I can live with that. So the message this morning is I like for our lives, I mean, for these messages to do something that actually fit where we live and where we're living. And so the title of the message today is When Your Kids Hate You. I don't know if any of you have ever had any difficulty with that. But, just so you know, in some families, it has happened. It has happened. And I'm sure none of our families at the church experienced that, but they just, it does happen. And the thing about it is, I was reading this week about, in our Bible reading, I kind of started out, and I hate this part of the Bible because it just, I don't want to be any of that, you know. But it starts out where David had his affair with Bathsheba, and then just the train wreck for the next few chapters of all the difficult things that happen. So this message actually starts with, let me read. I think I'm going to tell you the story before I read the scripture. How's that? This story really happens with a young man that is named Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. Jonathan and David were great friends. Jonathan was the king's son. He was heir apparent to the throne. And David had been anointed by the prophet of God to be the next king. And David and Jonathan had every reason that there was to be enemies, and yet they were such good friends that they vowed to each other that if anything happened to one of them, that the other one was to take care of their families. And they were great friends, and they didn't let circumstances allow for them to be drawn apart for any reason. And as fate would have it, Saul's son, Jonathan, died in battle, and David became king. And when David became king, he looked around. Now, the first thing that a king usually does, and we need to remember this, when he becomes king, his deal is to kill all the other heirs to the throne so that he won't have any competition. That's just part of the things they do. And if you don't understand how each culture, how each system works, then you get into trouble. And I think our nation is sadly in a place where we're toying with socialism and nobody is looking at the results of what socialism has done in the past. It's never worked and it's always been deadly, and it's a terrible thing to look at. And you need to consider that. Here's the thing that David and Solomon did. In spite of all the systems that worked, they decided that they were going to be friends, and they stayed friends. And guys, listen to this. As a church and as the people of God, you need to make sure that you're going to stay friends and love people, or you're going to end up in a mess. You can never talk to somebody about situations unless you care for them. You can never change the social views and the political systems unless you care for people. And you can't influence it in the right way unless they know that you care. And so you have to understand that. Well, here's Jonathan and David. Jonathan dies. David looks around for some of Jonathan's family. And when they found out that Jonathan was dead and that David had been set up as king, the maid who took care of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was 5 years old, she grabs him and runs out of the palace and falls and breaks both of Mephibosheth's legs, and they weren't able to set them back. He was crippled the rest of his life. You need to understand that. So now we get to the part where David sinned. He had this affair with Bathsheba. And then after he had her husband murdered, then he marries her. And I think, wow, that's horrible. It's just as bad as you get. He's one of the greatest guys that ever lived. And he lost a lot of respect in the kingdom, and his kingdom began to experience difficulties at that time. So here's the deal. He had a son named Absalom.
Absalom was heir to the throne. Absalom, they said, was a handsome man. Everybody liked him. He had the savoir faire, and he was the king. I mean, the king's heir apparent. And his sister. Now, where he started to mess up is this. In Deuteronomy, it tells kings there's two things you shouldn't do. You shouldn't collect, I like the word they say that, don't collect a bunch of wives. We used to live in Utah. Dad always said, "You know what the judgment for polygamy is, don't you? Two mother-in-laws." So David began collecting wives. Which the other thing they said, "Don't breed horses. Don't begin raising and establishing horses." You know. And so David started out by marrying too many wives, and his son Solomon later, he married a bunch of women, and then he started raising horses too, and between the two of them, it was a mess. So David finds out about Mephibosheth, and he has him rounded up and brought to the palace, and he's brought to the palace, and he stands before the king, and the king says to him these words. Mephibosheth is there with his life in balance. He says to him, he says, "Your dad and me were best friends. And I promised your dad that if he died before me, that I was going to take care of his kids. So here's your deal. You're going to come into my house. You're going to eat at my table. You're going to be at the table with my kids. You're going to be raised like one of my own. I'm taking care of you. And the land that was your inheritance way back when Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, was given to the land that was given to that tribe, his heir or his part of that was given back to him. And David found a guy named Ziba to go and work the land and to make sure that there was money earned there for Mephibosheth. He made Mephibosheth a rich man and had him set at the table. And Mephibosheth was a child and he got raised at the table with David. So you need to understand that because that is a part of this thing. The kids were kind of the yours, mine, and ours situation. They all had the same dad, except Mephibosheth, and they all had different moms. So this brother and sister, Absalom, who's the heir to the throne, he has a sister named Tamar. She's named after Tamar in the Old Testament, in the line of Jesus's line. And she's one of the heroes, the lady heroes of the Bible, and Tamar's named after her. Absalom's name is, we'll get into that in just a minute, but they're brothers and full brothers and sisters. Now there's this half-brother named Amnon. He's also a son of David, but he sees Tamar and he falls in love with her. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to use the word falls in love because that's what Hollywood uses, but I don't believe in that. Falling in love is nothing more than a bad set of hormones, and you need to be careful with it. It's not true. So they fall in love. They've got a bad set of hormones going on. He wants her. So one of the other brothers gives him this way of they're gonna make things work. He played like he was sick. He asked if they could have her come and serve him food. And she brought him food and he grabbed her and he molested her. He raped her. And unwillingly, she joined the Me Too movement. I don't say that out of silliness. That's a difficult thing. She was molested and raped. And she told him, she said, "Don't do this. If you ask David, he'll give me to you as a wife and I'll go along with that." But no, he had to have it right now. And then, because he didn't wait, he hated her and sent her out and made it even worse. So Absalom, her brother, is mad, as you would be, as I would be. He's ticked. And he's gonna work in the revenge mode. He invites all of the king's kids to a big party he has in a couple towns away. And they all ride their donkeys down there, mules. And they get to this place, and he sets up, and he kills Amnon, who had molested his sister. Well, David's rule is not doing really good. His household's falling apart, and he's kind of trying to back out of this, and he doesn't have the confidence he had before. And Absalom flees to one of the cities that he'll be safe in. For several years, 3 years, he was there. And then one of David's advisors says, you need to invite him back. He's had enough over this. It was a bad deal, but you need to get over it. So he invites him back. And when he invites him back, he brings him back into town, but he tells him this, I never want to see your face again. I never want to see it again. So 2 years, David and Absalom live in the same town, never see each other's face, and Absalom he's had his craw full. And he sets up for a meeting between David and Absalom, and when they met, David broke, and everything with David became okay. But it wasn't okay with Absalom. And Absalom bore this grudge, and now he was in town, now he had the king's favor, he began to work the system, and he began to gain favor with the people, and it came to a point where he's about to take the kingdom over. He was going to take the kingdom over, and he hated his dad so bad that he's going to have him killed. And that's where our scripture is today. Now Ahithophel used to be one of David's advisors, but he kind of had a bad attitude too, because his problem was his parents named him Ahithophel, and he couldn't spell it till he's in fourth grade. I think that was part of the problem. That's not really in the Bible. That's just surmised by me. Now, Ahithophel urged Absalom, let me choose 12,000 men to start after David tonight. I will catch up with him while he's weary and discouraged, and he and his troops will panic, and everyone will run away, and I will kill only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride returns to her husband. After all, it is only one man's life that you seek. Then you will be at peace with all the people. And the plan seemed good to Absalom and all the elders of Israel. The plan seemed good to kill his dad from Ahithophel. Do you see how dysfunctional this family has gotten at this point? We're going to start with this dysfunctional family, and we're going to try to iron some messes out of this thing with God's help. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would touch our hearts. God, I pray that at the foundation of every situation is an issue that has to do with a sin. And it's an issue that has to do with how you handle things and how you love and how you care for people. And God, I pray that today that our hearts would be opened and our minds and our spirits would be touched so that we could again return to your grace, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
I can't tell you how much we enjoy doing these episodes.
Yeah.
We love spending time with you, and we love getting your cards and letters and the experience that you have joining us for Cowboy Church.
And come back with us next week. We're here every weekend. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to minister to you, because the key important ingredient, as we talked about to begin this, is that you get something from the Word of God that will apply to your life.
And if you love Cowboy Church, go on to Facebook and go to cowboychurch.tv, and that's where you'll find like-minded people who love Facebook and love Cowboy Church, and you can converse with them and find out what other people are doing and what they're watching. So thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.